again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief, speaking to you today from one of the very few snowy days that we have in Vancouver. The new year has just changed over, and it's been part of my first day back at work with a couple of colleagues who have guest-edited and coordinated a special themed issue that we have coming out in Medical Education in March. This is going to be focused on humanism in medical education, and I'm going to ask them each to introduce themselves in turn rather than me giving a prolonged introduction, because I want to give each of them a chance to introduce their organizations as well as themselves. So maybe we can start with you, Liz Gaufberg.
Happy New Year, Kevin, and thanks for the opportunity to chat today. I'm Liz Gaufberg, and I am the Jean and Harvey Picker Director of the Arnold Peebles Foundation Research Institute, and I'm also an associate professor of medicine and psychiatry at Harvard Medical School.
And Brian?
Thank you, Kevin. Nice to join you. For the record, it's also snowing in Toronto. I'm a professor of medicine at the University of Toronto Faculty of Medicine and Ontario Institute for Studies in Education, vice president of education at University Health Network, the hospital network, and probably most pertinent to the call is I've been for the last 5 years lead of the AMS Phoenix Project, A Call to Caring.
Can you tell us a bit more about the Phoenix Project, Brian? What does it involve and how does it relate to this topic of humanism?
I think many people around the world would most know AMS for the work that led up to the creation of the CanMeds rules, which were originally, of course, created by the Royal College of Physicians and Surgeons of Canada, but created from a big project that was undertaken in the 1990s to look at the future of medical education. And so AMS is a charity that funds initiatives to try to change education and the health professions, and 5 years ago decided to become active again and launched the Phoenix Project, recognizing that on a cross-country information-seeking tour, a lot of people felt that while there had been advances in communications and the humanistic side of medicine, there were still many gaps. And so the project aimed to try to nurture and sustain learning and practice of compassionate healthcare.
Thanks. Liz, I know the Gold Foundation, your entire mandate is wrapped up around issues of humanism, but I imagine there are many who won't be familiar with the foundation. Can you similarly give us a sense of what that organization is all about?
Sure. The Arnold P. Gold Foundation was founded almost 3 decades ago now by Arnold Gold, who until very recently was a pediatric neurologist at Columbia, and his wife, Sandra. Arnold is now 90 and is still actively promoting humanism. Over these 3 decades, the Gold Foundation has been involved in trying to sustain compassion and empathy and caring at the heart of healthcare in the context of scientifically excellent care. And it's done that through a variety of means, including grants and awards, recognition of humanistic role models. You may be familiar with the white coat ceremony that was started by the Gold Foundation in, I believe, the late 80s, which is a ritual to try to help young medical learners aspire to the ideals of the profession. We also have developed the Gold Humanism Honor Society program, which recognizes medical student exemplars in humanism, and it's a peer nomination process where particularly humanistic students are sort of identified by peers, and these chapters also are seen as ways to nurture and sustain humanism in the medical school environments in which they live. And most recently, the Gold Foundation, 3 years ago, decided that they really wanted to focus more on some of the evidence and research underpinnings of what many of us know and believe to be true about how students learn and how patients heal. And so that's when the Research Institute came into being.
And this effort that you've just put into creating this themed issue around the topic of humanism comes at a particular point in history, and with a lot of, I think I can safely say, expanding attention being paid to the issues that the Gold Foundation has worried about for those 3 decades. Why did you think an effort like this was required at this point in time?
I'd have to give Brian credit for initially reaching out to me and saying, look, and this is something that I've thought about quite a bit, so much of this work happens in silos. There are many people who have recognized a problem in contemporary medicine and medical education in that there is a disparity between what we ideally state as our values and our ideals and what we actually practice. You know, the burnout rates now in the health professions are astronomical, and they relate to problems with patient care and cost and quality and safety and a lot of other outcomes that we're interested in. And there are a lot of sort of disparate efforts at understanding what goes into some of the more dehumanizing trends in medical education and in medicine. And it's very, very important that we have one conversation. And at some point, maybe a couple of years ago now, we got together and started talking about this and thinking about how can we start an international conversation about humanism and caring in health professions education. And one part of that is really to engage with the research community and the academic community. And that's when we reached out to you, Kevin, to see whether we could all partner together.
Brian, one of the things that you're world-renowned for is discourse analysis and really dissecting the meaning of things. What is humanism in your impression?
Well, you know, I think just jumping off the last bit of the discussion, it's not as though compassion and caring and humanism are new. We could go back to Osler, we could go back to Hippocrates probably. This is a dominant discourse in healthcare forever. But I think what Liz and I became concerned about was its marginalization. She mentioned many other very important issues and causes, but I think what I would have observed if I put on my discursive hat, my researcher hat, was the downgrading or marginalization of so-called quote-unquote soft skills or the tendency of people to render humanism and compassion as some sort of polar opposite of technology and technical skills. Or in fact, I think if we go back to the original founders and Oslers and Flexners and others, there was an understanding that these were integrated and complementary ways of viewing patients and thinking about skills. So Liz and I felt, I think, an important place needed to be opened up to have a scholarly dialogue. We've had a tension in our field for a long time between a pedagogy of educational development and teaching skills and the whole area of research and scholarly forms of evidence about what we do. And I think this is an area in particular where some wonderful work has been done for a long time in things like narrative, arts-informed education, various forms of helping people understand the humanistic side of medicine. But there was a dearth to our eye of a scientific approach, and that would be very broadly inclusive of quantitative, qualitative, and social science methods, but nevertheless a dearth of a very detailed and rigorous look at how we could think about the theory underpinning this work and how it might be connected to the outcomes of our medical schools.
And that latter statement where you reference arts-informed education, one of the things that I think all of us noticed, including those who were asked to comment on a variety of papers in the print publication itself, was that even these authors tend to quite quickly bring humanities to their writing and efforts when talking about humanism. Do you see the humanities as being the crucial home of humanism and all the efforts that you're trying to encourage through Phoenix and otherwise? Or is there some critical distinction that our readers and listeners should keep in mind?
I think there's a slight artifact in this. There certainly were some wonderful pieces written by people involved in the arts and humanities. It may well be that a background in the arts and humanities allows one to write a better paper that is more rapidly accepted for publication. I think as well, having attended the fantastic conference the Gold Foundation hosted, where 20 or 25 different bodies of work were presented, the work in this field is much more diverse. There's an accompanying article that looks at the neuroscience of empathy, and I think there are many approaches that we can actually take to thinking about caring, compassion, and humanism. That said, it is fairly widely understood that medicine has not accorded a sufficient place to the social sciences and humanities. Flexner actually said that himself in 1925, critiquing his own 1910 report. And it's as though people read the 1910 report about turning medicine into science and didn't notice where he argued about the broader mind, the social scientific basis and philosophic basis of medicine. So I do think that there is increasing pressure and increasing room for the humanities and social sciences to play a significant role. But I think the conversation in this journal is only the beginning. These are a small section of articles that open the discussion about rigor and science and evidence in this area, but I think it needs to continue into many, many more areas, including the so-called hard sciences, including psychology and the neurosciences.
I'm so glad to hear someone call psychology hard science. It's Liz building off of that. Yeah, absolutely. Building off of that idea that Brian just expressed, that this is the beginning of a conversation, what direction do you see that conversation going, or do you have any particular direction that you're trying to advocate for?
Well, just to pick up on Brian's earlier points and your question, Kevin, about the relationship between humanism and the humanities, part of the reason that, you know, three of the five papers in this issue focus on the arts and humanities had to do just with the review process and what came through, and it's as good a place to start as any. I do feel that the humanities are an incredible vehicle for cultivating humanism, but there's a real risk in conflating the two terms, that humanities and humanism are somehow either equivalent, or that humanities are the main vehicle for, or the only vehicle for, cultivating humanism. And that sort of takes away responsibility from all the other important players. I mean, from the admissions process to the anatomy professor to the OBGYN clerkship, we're all responsible for cultivating humanism and compassion. And in fact, we know that the way that medical students learn to be humanistic has to do with what they pick up from being immersed in the culture of medicine, that it's a process of socialization. And you sort of expect your humanities teachers to model empathy and compassion, but we really should expect it to be modeled and transmitted throughout our learning environments. That's why it's so important that we approach this from many different vantage points. And then just to get back to your question about what directions we see this going, you know, Brian and I both hope that this conversation will lead to some consensus on standards for scholarship, both methodology and scholarship. I mean, what we're talking about here in terms of cultivating empathy, compassion, humanism is a very complex sociocultural activity, and the standard approaches to biomedical research don't always fit. I might even say don't usually fit the investigation of some of these sorts of activities, and that we need to put our heads together as a community and find out, you know, together what are the tools that we need to really deepen our understanding. You know, in the quality literature, they recently came out with the SQUIRE guidelines for reporting on quality interventions. And I think we need something similar for humanism, in which we really figure out what do we expect in terms of, if you're taking a medical education intervention, for example, you know, how is the investigator expected to describe the intervention and the context, very importantly, that the seed is being planted in and how it's nurtured. And I do think that, you know, one possible outcome of this work together in this conversation is really to hold ourselves to high standards of rigor, but that are appropriate for this domain.
And as you think about the direction and the complexity, as you indicated, of this concept, anytime we get into things like that, there will inevitably be some who do hold themselves to a very strict or constrained model of scholarly effort in topics like this. And I was intrigued by Delise Ware's title in one of the commentaries that she wrote for this issue. She titled it Humanism and Other Acts of Faith. So let me finish by asking you each to address that concept and make your best pitch for why everyone in health professional education should be thinking about humanism and how we move forward as a field in the way that we're conceptualizing these things. Or is it destined to simply be an act of faith, as is implied? Liz, can we start with you?
Sure. I do think there's room for faith and intuition and passion. You know, Jordan Cohen, the president of the board of the Gold Foundation, defines humanism as the passion that animates authentic professionalism. So just in that very brief definition, we have terms like passion, authenticity, animation. I mean, those were very difficult qualities to pin down and quantify. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to deepen our understanding. And we certainly shouldn't stop trying to live those ideals as we're learning more. I mean, I'd say the vast majority of medical students come in with an act of faith. It's a lot of work. It's a huge commitment to follow this calling. And they're motivated by that. And then they go through a process. And a lot of that, Delise calls it faith. Jordan calls it passion. It gets trained out of them. And I think what Brian and I hope for, and what we're so grateful to you, Kevin, for opening up your space, your home to us, is a place where we can all try to keep our hearts open as we're learning more in a rigorous way, because both are really important.
Brian, same question to you. What makes this important in your view?
Well, I think the stakes are actually quite high. I've given a talk recently called Without Compassion, There Is No Healthcare. And I think roughly following the Aristotle formula that, you know, an area of professional behavior has three clusters. There's the knowledge domain, the skills domain, and then the sort of practical wisdom, phronesis, he called it. And I would put compassion in that kind of way of being category. And if we just look now at what's happening in many industries, I think it's coming to healthcare a little more slowly than it has to banking and airlines and everything else. But it's pretty clear to me that the integration of knowledge to make a diagnosis is going to be done by computers in the future. And it's pretty clear to me that robotics is going to take over an awful lot of the technical skills of medicine. And that leaves us with this synthetic, integrative, compassionate, caring, relational, humane part. And I believe that in the next century, that's the part that computers and robotics will not replace. And so for me, I think it's a massive problem if we see it as less than or dispensable in some way. And so it's not a leap of faith for me. It's simply shoring up what I think is the whole founding ethos of why we become health professionals.
I think that's actually a great note to end on. I want to wrap up by thanking you both personally for many reasons. One is taking the time to talk with me today. Two is all the effort that you put into making this themed issue a reality. You're kind to thank me for that, but you put in a great amount of effort, and I think it's made a wonderful product for medical education and for the field, and also just more generally for the efforts that you're promoting on behalf of the health professional community and society writ large to keep all of us focused on these very, very important topics. So I'll just finish by reminding our listeners that I've been speaking with Brian Hodges from the University of Toronto and the AMS Phoenix Project, and Liz Gaufberg from the Gold Foundation. We've been discussing an issue that will be released mid-February, the March issue of Medical Education 2016, that has the theme of humanism in medical education. Thank you both again for all the things I've already named, and look forward to further conversation.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you very much.